Hey, everybody, I'm Sean.
I'm Matt.
I'm Lindsay.
And this is Mike, and you're listening to Ranks for Nothing. This is our weekly update podcast, and we're going to be talking about random movies and music and stuff that we've been listening to and watching the last week or so. And we're also going to talk and review a new Iron Reagan album called Crossover Ministry. And you may have noticed a extra voice in that beginning part. That's because Lindsay, a friend from another podcast that I do called Forgotten Failures, is going to be guesting tonight. So, Lindsay, what's up?
Not much. Just hanging on this podcast, talking to a mic right now. To Mike, on a mic. It's pretty nuts.
It is pretty nuts.
But yeah, this is a lot of mics going on right now. I'm not really sure what I'm doing. I'm so uncomfortable
because
it's not my podcast.
A lot of mics, no ikes.
Yeah, no ikes.
No ikes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So let's see. How are we going to start this? Oscars, I think it just happened. We record this earlier, but I think this will air right after the Oscars. So let's do a little catch up. I recently watched a bunch of movies. Let's talk about Manchester by the Sea. Have you guys seen that?
Yes, I have
not.
Okay. Well, Matt, what'd you think about it?
It was pretty good. I don't think it deserves all the Oscar hype it's getting right now. I don't know if it's that
really
great.
You don't think so?
Yeah, like the movie itself is pretty good. It kind of just lingers on because the whole like death in the family thing and what's his name, Casey Affleck. I don't know how he's getting a nomination for best Oscar when he like barely talks much, and he's just kind of like, yeah, well, I guess my brother died. Okay. Like, it doesn't have like a whole lot of acting behind it, but.
See, I actually want to disagree with that. I think that was the best part about the movie was the acting and not necessarily the story. I thought the story, it's a story that you've kind of seen before. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Someone dies and someone has to deal with it. But I thought that's kind of what I liked about his performance is that he didn't, even though he didn't talk, there was a lot of stuff going on. And you could tell by not only his body language, but just like the way he presented himself and how he kind of sulked through it. But you could tell that he had that like beaten man mentality.
Yeah.
And he carried it really well, like, which even though he didn't have to say a lot, it still had that persona going on, which was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like the younger brother, or not the brother, the kid.
The kid.
The brother that died. He was really good.
Yeah, he was good. He was good.
Lucas Hedges.
Yeah. He was really good. The best part about this whole thing, we were talking about this a little earlier, is like just the Bostonian accents and like aspect to this whole thing.
Yeah. That's what I love
about it. Yeah. The opening scene is worth the price of admission right there because they're like out on a boat and the Casey Affleck, he's the uncle, and he's like teasing the kid. They're fishing off a boat, and he's like, "You're gonna catch a shark."
Yeah. The sharks eat you up, son.
Sharks are gonna eat you. And he's like, "It's not a shark." They just say shark like way too many times, and I feel like the only reason why they say it is because they know it's ridiculous, yeah. And they just keep saying it. But yeah, there was some cool stuff in that though. Like Lee, who is Casey Affleck, he just gets shit on one after another. Like the whole movie is just like him getting shit on for like 2 hours. And he does a really good, like, to me, like that build of like why he's like that and everything was the payoff. Like it was interesting to see those like pieces kind of fit together.
Mm-hmm.
There was a cool, like that kid had like a, it was a nice touch because he's a teenager kid. Obviously he's like 16 or so. And they show him in his room and it's like all Bridge Nine record stuff, which is super cool because Bridge Nine Records is from Boston. So it's like, there's a big Bridge Nine banner and like Polar Bear Club posters on the wall and shit, and I was just like, that's a nice touch because a kid of that age would kind of represent that, you know what I mean, like that's kind of like the scene of that area, so that was kind of neat. And then the only other thing I really want to say is like the apology scene with Michelle Williams. Like, I don't want to give too much away, but there's a scene where she like apologizes to Lee, and it's fucking impressive to watch. Like, it's just so hard to watch. Like, that shit just like, it's like getting stabbed in the stomach and then they just like twist the knife around for a little while. It's bad, but so good because of how it's portrayed.
Yeah. I like the scene in the police department. I feel like that was his best scene.
That was really good. Like that was really good.
Side of the story kind of thing.
Yeah. I feel like that's why it got nominated for Best Picture, was just like some of those acting scenes. Like, it just had those scenes that were just super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether or not like the whole movie's great, and I don't think it'll win Best Picture.
No, I don't think so.
But it definitely deserved to be nominated. I'll give it that.
Eh, we'll see.
Yeah, fuck yourself. Oh, shit. All right. What else? Lindsay, you said you've been watching The Crown lately?
Yeah, The Crown. Super good. It's a biographical like drama about Queen Elizabeth and well, Elizabeth II. I should
That's not this queen, is it?
Yes. Yes, it
is.
Oh,
it is this queen.
It's okay. Pretty great. And her her daddy is played by if you ever watch Mad Men, Lane Pierce, or the dude who plays him, which is great.
Okay.
But yeah, it's super. There's a lot of good names in it. Just a lot of good actors. The 11th Doctor is in it, which was surprising. But yeah, it's kind of intense, very dramatic, but very much like it really gives you a good impression of what the pressures are, when it comes to being basically the head of state, like, especially for her specifically, 'cause she was like the second woman essentially.
Is this when she was like young?
Yeah. She ascended when
she
was super
young. Over.
Okay. And it starts from when when her father's dying and she realizes, oh shit, I'm the next in line. so he kind of starts like prepping her to take over. And then it kind of goes into her relationship with Winston Churchill.
Oh, really? That's kind of neat.
Who is played by John Lithgow in an amazing performance.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And like the way they portrayed Churchill seemed true to what I understand Churchill's personality as.
Okay.
But yeah, it's very like it's kind of a good look at like the politics of like being a royal back in those days.
I was just going to say, is it like, I don't want to compare it to like House of Cards, but is it like that aspect of politics or is it just like more about figuring it out type of stuff?
Yeah, it's more like figuring out and her kind of her becoming an authority. Like some of it is really interesting because it's about her relationship with her husband, who's a prince, mm-hmm. and she's a queen. So like it's a real like kind of a head fuck for the two of them. Like how that, because it's back in the day when your husband, you know, was the king of the house. So like in the part of like the beginning, when she married, I think it's Prince Philip, when they got married, there was like a lot of commotion over, her saying that she would, obey. It's kind of stuff like that. And it's like, it goes into like the little tiny things that she, just as someone who's watched by everybody could not do, like how restricted her life became because
she's a queen now.
Yeah. Because if she was a queen,
is it like a full on show or is it like a miniseries, like one and done type of thing? Or is it like season one of many?
I think they're going to be doing another season. 'Cause they didn't they didn't get to like her. They're kind of at the end of the first season, which is all that's out now, was like her in her maybe like 40s. Like so I think there might be another season out of it. And each episode's like an hour long. It's a Netflix show. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been hearing that it's good. It's not something that I would probably like want to watch given the whole like royal family stuff. It's not a huge interest to me, but I've been hearing that it's supposed to be really good, so that's like kind of piqued my interest.
Yeah, and the cinematography is like amazing. It's crazy.
Oh really? That's cool.
But no, it's written really well. It's not just one of those I can see what you mean, like a lot of people are into like Regency shit just because of the romance of it, but this delivers like a really good storyline, like something that's like actually interesting.
That's cool. I might have to check it out.
Yeah,
check out a couple eps, see if it's worth it. But Sean, what have you been watching lately?
Well, I actually finished that show, The Frontier.
Oh, you did? How was it?
It was good. It definitely leads up to like a second season that's going to be happening for sure.
Okay. How many episodes were in that?
Either 6 or 8.
Oh, so it's not that long.
Yeah. It's kind of short. It's not too much.
That's cool.
Yeah, I finished that. It was pretty good. Let's see. I watched coming on with the documentaries here. I watched that National Lampoon documentary. Drunk.
Yeah, what'd you think about that?
Drunk Stone, Brilliant Dead. It was awesome. I loved it.
I thought it was a little like, I don't know. I watched it and I kind of like was losing interest as it was going.
Yeah, the first like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, was like, holy fuck, this is gonna be so good. It did kind of tear off towards the last like 20 minutes or so, like somewhere in the middle. Yeah. There, it kind of got a little like mushy, but like,
Yeah.
It was good overall. I liked it because I didn't really know like a lot of background of that shit, apparently.
Yeah, I think I was going into it expecting more about like...
the stuff I knew about?
Kind of like a... yeah, yeah, exactly. Like it was so much more about like the magazine and shit like that. And
yeah.
Like while I knew that was a thing, like there was... it was like 45 minutes of that. And I was just like, I thought that there was a lot more to it. Like I thought they didn't really do too much on the movies and stuff like that.
That kind of sucks. That's like the boring part of the story.
Yeah. Like kind of in the middle, kind of like, oh yeah. Then we started doing movies and then that was like pretty much,
and then they don't talk about it much. Yeah. It was weird.
Yeah. But yeah, it was cool. Like
because it was like such a big deal, like the movies were, that they would have spent more time on it, but they really didn't. It was kind of weird.
Yeah. The crazy, I didn't know like the crazy relationship between Chevy Chase and, I can't remember the guy's name that started it. The other dude who died, but
oh, the lead guy. I forget his name.
Yeah, the dude who wrote in the magazine a lot and wrote all the movies and shit. I think.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
At least, pretty crazy. I didn't really know that whole like storyline. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, but yeah. There was some of that like background stuff that was neat. Yeah, but
like all the it is John Belushi stuff was pretty interesting too.
Yeah, yeah. Like all the stuff that I was like interested in was good.
Yeah, exactly. Like all the parts that I knew about, I was like, oh man, this is awesome. I know about this. Now I know even a little more. That's cool. Or these people, at least I know who the fuck they were. That's about it.
Yeah, it was weird. Like I feel like the magazine stuff, while it was like interesting, it just wasn't like, it felt like it was so much going over the same type of information over and over again. But
yeah.
But if you're really into that stuff, I could see it being.
Yeah, it was still good. I liked it.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed it. But I wouldn't be like, I don't think I'd ever watch it again or anything though.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of that stuff, I mean, you watch it once and that's essentially it.
Yeah, you get the gist. Yeah.
But keep along with some documentary stuff here. I watched The American Crime Story, the O.J. Simpson trial.
It's
like eight, I think it's like 8 or 10 episodes.
Yeah, something like that.
Have you seen it, Lindsay?
Yeah.
I have not seen it.
Did you watch the actual, like the 4-part or 5-part, like real life documentary?
I watched, but I like everything that came out on it. I was like, yeah, this is about the time to be refreshed on this.
Yeah,
this is the perfect time for me. Yeah. Like it got to the point where I couldn't give a shit in the 90s. And then like now I'm like, yeah, I can relive that time.
Totally. It's a good day.
For sure.
So like so I watched like the Cuba Gooding Jr. David Schwimmer series. I watched that. And then
fucking David Schwimmer.
And then I went back and watched, cause like a while ago when that first, like the ESPN 30 for 30 came out. The 4-part series. I watched like the first part and I kind of went back to it and I rewatched it all. And the series is actually like the crime story series is fucking dead on. It's crazy.
Really?
Dude, it's nuts. It kind of raises a lot of questions in my head.
Yeah. You think?
Dude, like I never really like paid attention to the shit. I'm always just like, yeah, he fucking totally did it. Duh. But I don't know.
Yeah, you were young at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, we were all pretty young, but you were,
I mean, 9, 10? Dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you were, I was like 11-ish.
Yeah. I remember the day that shit happened when he went on the chase.
I remember that too.
Yeah, I remember
that. Oh, yeah.
I remember exactly where I was when I first found out about it.
Because that shit was exciting. There was, that was like crazy. Nothing like that ever before.
You know, the same day that happened, so much shit happened in the sports world. There's an ESPN 30
nuts.
For 30 documentary just on that day.
Yes,
like really? The Rangers won the cup, which is awesome.
Yeah.
He did that. Uh-huh. He did that thing. And then there's one other, there's like one other like crazy sports story that happened like that same day. I can't remember what the hell it was, but like the Knicks were in the championship or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that episode of the 30 for 30. Yeah. I didn't watch the whole OJ thing, but I saw that date one.
It's crazy.
I have to say that that watching the OJ, the Cuba Gooding Jr. OJ show, really fucked me up for American Horror Story because I couldn't watch like the latest season because I watched it right after that and I was like, I can't not see OJ now. Like this is really fucking me up.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't. Yeah, I was just like, it was troubling. Like it's weird. It's that whole thing.
It got
is just
into
like,
your head.
Fuck, was it, did he do it? Did he not? Did like this shit totally set up? Like, it's crazy. Some of the evidence like totally pinpoints it, but in some of it, like, wow, maybe they totally did alter this fucking crime scene. What the fuck is going on here?
That's crazy.
Dude, it's,
I gotta watch that.
And it's crazy because like, up until like yesterday, I was, because I finished this shit like 3 days ago or a week ago almost.
Oh, wow. So that's fresh.
Yeah. And then like, I think it was like last Thursday, Friday. So like 2 days ago, I was like, they never said anything about the knife. What the fuck is going on here? Like, nothing in the show, nothing in the documentary, like, at all. So I was Googling it. I got crazy. And then I was like, okay, what are the theories on this shit?
And you're on a watch list now.
Like a year ago, they have a theory of like, he either like dumped it at the airport on the way to Chicago, or he took it to Chicago and then dumped it at the hotel there. Just fucking weird. Man, but they never recovered it. Like, what the fuck? It's crazy. But anyway.
Did you guys, maybe you've talked about this, but did you guys watch the, that Jake the Snake documentary?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Oh.
Yes.
So good. And sad. So sad.
Yes. That is very sad.
I don't know if you listened to our last episode, but I saw Jake the Snake Roberts do spoken word like 2 weeks ago here.
What?
Yeah. It was a mind blow.
How's he looking? Is he looking okay?
He looked awesome. I mean, he just looked super old and just like walked around, carried a bottle of water. And one of the dudes from Rock and Roll Express lives here in town. Like the original Rock and Roll Express.
Rock and Roll Express.
The old tag team, man.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I remember the Rockers.
This was like 70s, early 80s Rock and Roll Express shit.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't remember.
It's like era of like the Freebirds. And shit, but
gotcha.
He lives here in town. He has like a wrestling school somewhere around here. But he did like spoken word too, so that was cool. He looks like
he was the opening act.
Yeah, he looks like an old Indian with like a huge like long white mullet. It's pretty awesome.
He still has that mullet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Was he still like in semi shape after doing the
DDP
exercise thing? Yeah, on the
DDP yoga.
Yeah, I mean he looks just like a normal like old dude who used to do a lot of drugs.
Middle aged dude. Okay.
Yeah, just wondering if he gave up or not.
No, he was. Yeah, I was like, I wonder if he's gonna drink. I wonder if he cracked. I wonder if that was all a hoax.
He cracked a couple times.
Yeah.
So was the spoken word like stuff that he came up with? Was it like from his heart, or was it just?
It was
like,
just like stories of like old wrestling stories. Like I kind of touched on it last episode. Like he talked shit about a bunch of wrestlers. It was pretty awesome.
Nice. That's always the best. Yeah.
He told some crazy stories about like him and Mr. Fuji, who is Yokozuna's manager, shitting in people's shoes while they were sleeping.
Oh, that's amazing.
Pretty awesome. He would just say like he talked for like an hour and a half or so. He would just like tell old stories like of when he first started wrestling and like shit. He, you know, I don't know. He just like talked shit on a bunch of people. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'd pay to see that for sure.
Yeah, it was well worth the $20. I'll tell you that much. But the only thing is like they charged to like take a picture with him. I'm like, fuck, I just want to like take a picture. But he had like some like bodyguard mean looking fucking like dude with him. I was like, I'm not even fucking risking that shit.
Forcing that $20.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's his fucking money there. Because he's barely getting any of that ticket sale.
Oh yeah.
That's living.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, it's like fucking Comic-Con now. Like everyone you gotta pay to get like an autograph and shit.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, besides those things, I did watch a newer movie that came out last year I never even heard of until recently. It's called In a Valley of Violence with Ethan Hawke. It's like a Western with him and John Travolta.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
Dude,
I haven't seen it,
it's pretty cool. It's super old school Western, like everything down to like the soundtrack to the music. It's like super like old school, like Clint Eastwood kind of feel. It's cool.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
In a Valley of Violence, or In the Valley of Violence.
In the Valley?
Huh.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's on, I think we rented it on like Amazon Prime or something. I think that's the only place I've seen it on. But it's pretty cool. Huh. It's about a dude, Ethan Hawke. He has a dog, which is awesome. It's like a little
Australian cattle dog. Does he die at the end?
I'm sold.
It's a goddamn dog die.
It actually dies in the beginning-ish, which is like the whole point of the story.
God damn it.
99% of the time, the dog always dies.
It's about avenging his dog's death. It's pretty cool. And they try to kill him at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking John Wick the Western.
It's pretty awesome, though. It's cool.
You got me. I'll watch it.
But besides,
I got it. Man, Ethan Hawke is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Cool. He does a pretty good job.
He's in so many good things. There was a movie. It was like a vampire movie called
Daywalkers. Isn't it?
Daybreakers.
No, Daybreakers. Yeah.
Daybreakers. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw that one.
Oh man, that was super interesting.
Yeah. That was like, the movie.
Not the best movie ever. Yeah, but it was like super interesting.
Yeah, it was a cool concept, but the movie kind of
failed. Which, if you haven't heard of it, it's in like a dystopian future type of thing, and vampires have taken over. Like,
they've taken over humans.
So now they're to the point where there's more vampires than there are human beings in the world, and so they're like farming people for their blood. Like so it's like they're hooked up to machines and just like they're just blood machines at this point. And then there's like a faction of humans that are like on the run, and it's like that's the world that they live in. It's just like. Yeah, it's super interesting.
And they're like going through a drought of humans because they're running out of humans.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good though. Like they go about it in a really smart way, like the way the movie's done.
Mm-hmm.
To where it's definitely worth if you're into like that style of movie.
Yeah, you love vampire movies, check it out.
yeah, vampire and like that whole like weird world building type of movie. It's definitely worth watching.
Cool. But,
yeah, it's a little bit older too, a couple years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone else is in that. There's a couple decent people. I forget.
What's his name? Fucking from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's the guy. I don't know his name.
Dr. Alan Grant in Jurassic Park. I can't remember his real name.
That does all that matters. Oh, shit. So, Matt, what have you been up to?
Let's see. Speaking of John Wick, I saw John Wick Chapter 2.
Yeah.
Saw that for Valentine's Day.
Nice. Was it as good as the first one?
It was. Like, well, when it comes to the action part, it definitely goes mm-hmm. above and beyond.
Okay.
And then the beginning of the movie, I say like the first half, it's not like right off the bat action. Like they kind of mm-hmm. do a lot of world building with like the whole assassin, hitman kind of underbelly. Like the clubs, like how the, on the Continental when they go to that hotel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It kind of digs in a little more into that, which is awesome. It's like, cause that's what you want to know more about after seeing the first John Wick movie.
Yeah, for sure. Cause when they show up there in the first one, you're like, what the fuck is this?
What goes on beyond John Wick? Like this just been going on for years.
Seriously. It's neat.
I feel like the ending for me kind of jumped the shark. They go a little too overboard with the whole assassin thing. But besides that, the movie's awesome. I'd still go see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Sean, you haven't seen John Wick. Lindsay, have you seen John Wick?
No,
I have not.
Oh man, it's so good.
Yeah.
Is that the movie when they were doing those like crazy videos that went viral with Keanu Reeves training for guns and shit? Was that the movie he was training for?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was it. Yeah.
I figured that. All right.
Yeah, the action in it's like super good. Like
it looks cool.
Just the way the choreography and just like the way the camera goes, like with the cinematography and stuff, it's just like super. It's very like fresh feeling.
Yeah,
like,
it's probably one of the best action movies in quite a while. When it comes to like gun action, like they're actually reloading guns. It's just not infinite bullets flying around and guys getting holes through them left and right.
Yeah, it's like realistic, but like fantasy at the same time but like only because like they're so good at what they do that it makes it look fake but it's believable because I think they did most of that like in real time. Like I think most of it's like
I don't think he had
not,
much
like,
of a
CGI stuff, or yeah it's like a lot of like real stuff which is kind of neat.
Yeah,
but John Wick's awesome. Like have you seen the newer Judge Dredd movie, just the Dredd
one? Yep.
Did you like that?
I enjoyed that one.
If you like that, you will like John Wick a whole lot.
I'll have to
watch
it.
It's that same, like, just a day in the life of this one dude, and shit happens.
I can dig that.
Yeah. It's super good.
And it's Keanu. It's Keanu, too, so.
Yeah,
can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch Michael Bolton's Big Sexy Valentine's Day special?
I saw that.
I did not.
Heard of it.
It seemed. I saw that. It looked appealing. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, if you're into, it was done by it was a team up with Comedy Bang Bang and
oh really
the Lonely Island Boys. Like it's a team up of like those dudes. So if you're into like Andy Samberg and shit, like it is pretty amazing. Like the whole thing is like Michael Bolton is tasked by Santa. Santa made too many toys over Christmas
and now
he needs Michael Bolton. Well, just kids' toys, but now he needs Michael Bolton to have a telethon to get people to conceive babies, enough babies to give toys to, all these extra toys to. So it's Michael Bolton having this telethon, with people calling in, saying that they've conceived to his show.
This is like the craziest thing. I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah, I thought it was an actual Michael Bolton like documentary or something.
It's so amazing. Like I
literally thought he was just going to be singing love songs for like an hour.
Yeah. No, so I was like, I don't know if I can have this on my watched history or not.
No, it is the craziest shit. Like Adam Scott's in it. Janine Garofalo, Sinbad makes an appearance. Like
Jesus
Bob Saget's there. Andy Richter. Like it's a fucking cast. It's good.
Is it like that Christmas amazing. Special with Bill Murray they did? On Netflix?
Kind of a little bit like it. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Just really silly, really irreverent, really fun.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I completely just glossed over that because I thought it was just going to be some
terrible.
Bullshit. Yeah. I was like, this can't be good.
Yeah, and Michael Bolton's pretty great. Like, it is just made to be terrible.
That's awesome. Now I'll have to watch that. That's hilarious. Oh, man. Man, so I think the movie that's going to win Best Picture is Moonlight, Matt.
Yeah, I feel like it will too.
I've heard so many good things. I need to watch that movie. I've heard so many good things about it.
That's a movie. That's a story I've never seen told before. And that's what's amazing about it. Like, I went into that movie thinking it was something, and it was not that at all. And it blew me away. Just like, I was like, wow, I have never heard or seen this story be told in any format, really. And maybe that's just like my closed off, like I'm not out there reading that type of stuff or watching that type of stuff. But watching that, I was just like, holy shit, it's just so well. And not only is it like an interesting story that I'd never seen before, but it was just so well done on like everything.
Yeah, I heard an interview with, I think the dude who wrote it and one of the main dudes who acted in it. And just hearing a little bit of what the story is about, is super intriguing. And I think a friend of mine who's seen it, they explained it to me as a Boyhood, if Boyhood was a good movie.
Yeah.
See, I liked Boyhood, but just, I think more for the fact of like what it was, not necessarily like the movie that it was.
Yeah.
Like, I just like the idea of Boyhood. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cool, I like the story behind Boyhood.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a more interesting movie that was made more than like an interesting movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely, I could see Moonlight being that.
Yeah.
I could see that for sure. But Jesus,
yeah, that's
man.
One on my short list for sure.
Oh man, it's so good. And there's, the guy that plays, the older guy, it's basically like a time. It follows his life. It's like him as like a young kid, and then him as like a
high school teenager,
and then another and as like a grown up man. And everyone that plays the character's name Chiron, and everyone that plays him is so good at it. It's ridiculous, especially the teenage one. He pulled off this like weird, like awkward teenager feel to it that just worked really well. But then like the adult one is what sold me on it. It was just like, holy shit. Like he plays it with such, he's kind of like this hard, like gangster type. Like that's kind of what he's like portraying, is like this
kind of came off as like 50 Cent type.
Yeah. Right. Like, and he toes that line of like hard gangsta, but then he's got this like really soft, tender, like vulnerable side. And it like, it's crazy how well he does it. Like, you could easily just be like, oh, you know, like you could flip the switch and it's just, it would come off cheesy. Mm-hmm. He really towed that line and made it super believable, where like you watch it and you're like, no, this dude does have like a difference. It's not just like an act, like this is legit. And to me, like it was just like so well portrayed. It was ridiculous. But that whole movie was just, it was really good. Like it, it's not a thriller or anything, but it has this like tension build throughout the whole damn movie where you're just like, kind of like gripping, like, and just, I don't know how to really explain it.
Are you just kind of like anxious for like the kid growing up? Like, is that the kind of like,
yeah,
what's going to happen?
Yeah, maybe. It's just like this feeling that something bad is going to happen. Like the whole time you're watching this movie, you're just like waiting for it to happen. And I'm not saying it does or it doesn't, but it's just like, it's this constant build throughout this whole movie. And it's just like, oh man, what the fuck?
Especially during the high school year part.
Yes. The high school year part, definitely. But it's good. It's good. I after watching that, and then I watched Hacksaw Ridge, which was really good, especially if you like war movies. It's good for that. I'm not huge on World War II movies, just because it's always like a us versus them. It's like good guy, bad guy. There's not a lot of like
tension there.
You know what I mean? It's very much just like, we're America, we're the best, blah blah blah. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's how it is. Not saying that's good or bad, but it's just the matter of fact.
Yeah, I know. It's just boring being the best all the time. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I know. It's hard being number one all the time. but this is cool because it's not necessarily about the fighting. And the war scenes are amazing. Mel Gibson directed it. And I know, Matt, have you watched Braveheart yet?
No, still haven't watched it yet.
God damn it. I got time for that shit.
I need to watch Braveheart.
That's a long-ass movie. It is a long-ass movie.
So like all the brutality of like warfare in that era, he brings it to World War II, and it's just like, it's insane, man. It's the most, I don't want to call it like realistic, because I've never been to war, so but it's definitely like, it's just the brutality of war. It felt like war. It didn't feel like glossed over war. You know what I mean? Like there's feet flying all over the place and like bombs are going off, and it's just like, holy shit, this is like legit. Like like it felt like you were there, you know what I mean? And it was cool because the main character, he's a conscientious objector, so he's against war, basically.
Oh, that's right. He's like the medic, isn't he?
And he's a medic. So
he was a medic.
Like, yeah, he was a medic.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought he just went into war. He was like wanting to like help people out, but not actually like put them back together.
I'm not a qualified medic.
Yeah. I'll bring you to the medics, so kind of guy.
Yeah. No, so he's a medic. So that's what's kind of cool is that, like, in the whole beginning, like, maybe not the first half, maybe a little less than the first half, is, like, him fighting the army, basically wanting to go to war to do his duty as an American during that time, but not wanting to hold a gun and not wanting to do this other stuff. And they were basically trying to bully him out of the army and making his life like a living hell. And he just, like, kept at it, and he took him to court. And obviously, you know, it's a true story, so I'm not giving anything away. He goes to war. And he's going a medic, and he doesn't have to carry. He doesn't have to carry a gun and all this. But that build, like, even though you know it's going to happen, that build is still really well done. And it's crazy. Like, you watch it, and it's all true. And the shit that he does, it's like, it's one of those cases where, like, fact is stranger than fiction, because it's just, like, the shit that happened is insane. And it's cool. It's definitely it's cool. War scenes were insane. And as good as movie that was, I still think Moonlight was better. Overall movie. But, yeah. Check it out. Check out Hacksaw Ridge, though. It's definitely worth watching.
I'm not a huge fan of the actress name, which is
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I'm actually surprised he's up for Best Actor.
Is he really?
He did a good... Yeah, which is kind of surprises me. Like, he did a really good job. But this is a movie that's more about, like, the, I don't want to say the event, but it's more about, like, this story rather than, like, his performance, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
movie's got a better chance of winning than he does.
Yes, for sure. It's definitely a movie, like, it's definitely highlights the movie and, like, the story and stuff more so than, like, his performance. But he was good in it. He didn't take away from anything. From what I heard, I was reading something after, like, to like check to see how truthful it was, you know what I mean? Because it's pretty crazy, like, the stuff that happens. So I'm just like, is that real? And, like, most of it checks out. And then I was doing it, and they said the dude died, like, not that long ago, like within like 10-15 years maybe.
Oh wow.
And he lived a long time. And they talked to his kid. I think his kid went to, like, the premiere, and there was an interview with him, and it said, like, that it was, like, really true to how his dad was and how, like, he portrayed him really well. So I guess that helps, I guess. But it was interesting. It's definitely worth checking out. But, yeah. What else is new? Sean, you watched Creed? How good was that?
Oh, yeah, I did. I finally got around to watching it. It was pretty awesome. I liked it.
So good, right?
Yeah. I didn't know that he, like, at the end, I saw it coming, like, he kind of slowly starts dying. I thought they were going to kill him off, honestly.
I was kind of hoping he was going to die too.
Yeah, because
It'd kind of be like a passing the torch if he did.
Yeah. I mean, you guys may have mentioned it, but I didn't really soak it in. But I started watching, I was like, man, they might actually fucking kill him off. That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
I guess it would have been like a practical ending, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was cool. Like, it was better than I thought it was going to be, that's for sure. And I don't want to blow the ending, but I kind of liked how we didn't really win the big fight at the end.
It's been out long enough. People should have seen it if they wanted to.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'm always behind.
I put it off for a long time, and I've watched it. So,
okay. So
yeah, exactly. I was the same way. I had it on my watch list for a long time.
It's been about like a year of Greg saying, hey, we should watch Creed. And I'm like, how about this other thing?
didn't the kid who started it like have a hand in like filming it and producing it or something?
I thought
they had to like actually like how he coaxed Rocky in the movie. They had to actually like coax him into like doing the movie itself. I'm pretty sure. There's like a behind the scenes like little documentary on like the making of. I'm pretty sure that's how it went down. I could be wrong, but it sounds familiar. I watched that like a long time ago. Funny before the movie, but
Creed is like, as long as you like hand wave some of like the stuff that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah,
yeah.
like how Creed is like even alive, and like how Apollo's his daddy, like that.
That took me like I was like, wait, so that is his mom? That chick's not his mom. The chick from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is not his mom. I don't get it.
That's the Cosby Show.
Are you sure?
Pillar.
Yeah.
No.
And it's like this dude is how old, and his dad died when? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I didn't want to deal with
a little muddiness.
But I did like, I really appreciated like old Rocky was great. Like he was just a mumbling fucking old fool, and I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And they really played him like someone who had a lot of head injuries too. So
yes. Well, that's what's crazy about Sylvester Stallone is like people kind of give him shit and like kind of pass him over as like this just like bumbling idiot that does action movies, but he's kind of a smart dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he wrote Rocky. Yeah. He wrote fucking First Blood and Rambo and all those. Like, he's the driving force behind a lot of those movies that brought him to the forefront. And I think people kind of forget that, you know what I mean? And it's kind of nuts.
Yeah, dude's got talent.
He can back it up. Like, even though it doesn't seem like it sometimes, he has the chops.
He really did draw First Blood, nuts. You know?
That's our show, guys. Oh, shit.
Oh, I was going to bring up that movie, one more movie, the Infiltrator movie with Bryan Cranston.
Ooh, so is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I never heard of it until I saw it, like, recently. I think it was on, like, I think it rented on Amazon Prime as well.
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
Yeah.
Because I saw it, and I nearly started watching it, but I was like, I don't think I'm in the mood for this right now. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, he plays, he kind of gets into, like, drug dealing, obviously, and he kind of, like, at the very end, he kind of, like, forefronts his kind of meeting Pablo Escobar, like, kind of briefly. So it's kind of like that whole world, like he wants to meet up and build up to like meet to him, and then like he like passes him in a hallway at one point. But it's all like a fucking sting operation. Like he kind of gets like, it's one of those like he gets so knee deep that he forgets he's a cop type of thing.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, and he just becomes like an actual fucking drug dealer.
But nice. And it's Bryan Cranston, so
yeah,
you know,
it's done really well. It's pretty awesome. So it's a good movie.
That's crazy. When did that come out? Was that last year?
I want to say it had to have been like earlier last year because I never really heard of it until I saw it.
Yeah, it seems like it really came out under the radar. I don't know why.
Yeah.
There's been a bunch of like Bryan Cranston movies like that. There was another movie. I forget what the hell it was called. Like We Own the Night, maybe? Is that a movie?
I think so. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but there was that movie was really good and it was the same thing. I think, what's that dude? The guy that played Lex Luthor in the last.
Lex Luger.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg was in it as well.
Huh.
And
I think I know what you're talking about.
And that was it was the same thing. It kind of like flew under the radar and it was really good.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different
movie. We Own the Night is a movie with like Joaquin Phoenix and Marky Mark.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that movie's amazing.
It came out like a decade ago.
That movie's amazing. It's Cold Comes the Night.
Cold Comes the Night. I never even heard of that.
Cold Comes the Night. And I've never heard of it. Yeah, it's good. It's like a, I don't remember how, it's like a, that's not the one with Jesse Eisenberg, it's a different movie. But Cold Come the Night is really good too, though. He's like a, it's another like criminal type of thing or something like that. I don't remember. I watched it a while ago. It came out a couple years ago. But that one flew under the radar. And that was like right after Breaking Bad. Like that was like one of the first things he did after Breaking Bad. So you think it would have got more like attention than it did.
Yeah.
I don't think his movies really get a whole lot of play, though.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, except for he was in Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. I like that Godzilla movie. It was pretty good.
All right. Not enough Godzilla.
You're right. Yeah, but it's the first one.
He's the star of the show.
They're rebuilding it.
The movie's called Godzilla.
Hey, man, you can't just Godzilla your way in from minute one.
You should have.
Maybe we would have heard of it if so.
Dude, have you seen the previews for the new King Kong movie?
Yeah, that looks great.
It does look pretty good.
I got that.
I'm glad monster
now
movies
look.
Are coming back. I like monster movies.
Yeah. Pacific Rim 2 looks pretty cool.
That shit looks really good.
Pacific
Rim 1 was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super good. Super good. But
good, they might say.
Super, super good. Yeah. What else is new? I watched this movie called Blue Jay. It's a new Duplass brother movie. Mark Duplass stars in it. I think he directed it. He might have wrote it too, most likely. It's usually how that shit goes. Sarah Paulson, isn't it? I think she was in the OJ movie too. The OJ thing. I think she played Marsha.
Oh, she played the lawyer. Yeah, the prosecutor. Yep.
Yeah, Marsha Clark or whatever her name.
Crazy. Okay.
But so Blue Jay. It's an interesting movie. It's not like a great movie. It's a good movie. But the idea behind the movie is what makes it really cool. So he wrote like a loose plot, like a script. But there was no written dialogue at all. So it was all like improv. Like they basically had notes that they had to hit. Like they had to get this point across and get that point across. You know what I mean? But they didn't have a script at all to get there. The movie's basically just the two of them, Mark Duplass and Sarah Paulson's character. And it's them for like an hour and a half-ish, maybe an hour, 20 minutes. There's a couple other characters, but for the most part, it's just the two of them. And it's really interesting because like you get these scenes where it's like genuine reactions, because like you can tell that when Mark said something, she was not expecting him to say that, and like that like surprise and reaction is like on the face, and it's like really interesting, and vice versa too. Like she'll do something and it's just like, yeah, I was not expecting you to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it makes sense. It makes sense in the movie still too. It's not like they're just pulling shit out of their ass just to like get a reaction. Like it's totally like works in the sense of the movie.
Okay.
And it's cool. It's filmed, well, it probably wasn't filmed in black and white, cuz I think it was filmed on like a Canon like 5D, like the whole movie, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting too.
So awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Like they colored it, it's black and white, so they made it kind of look like an artsy film, but it's an interesting movie, especially if you like the Duplass Brothers type of movies. You'll enjoy it. It's, and knowing that, like the whole like improv thing, it definitely adds like, oh shit, that's crazy. Cause I didn't know, like Jen, we were watching it together and I think she was on IMDb or something and saw that. And she's like halfway through the movie, she mentioned that. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. Cause there were some weird stuff going on that like, and it's like, oh, that's neat. So check that out. It's on Netflix. It's, I think, the first movie of their Netflix deal that they're doing.
Nice.
Who is this? Duplass Brothers? Who are they?
Have you seen The League?
Oh, okay. Okay. I just Googled it. I was like, that dude looks familiar. That makes sense.
Yeah,
that's it. Okay.
He's done. I'm trying to think. Like they've done so many movies, like really good movies too.
Are they both on it, or is it just a one?
No, it's just. I think just Mark did it. Okay. Yeah, I think it was just him on this one.
Okay. Are they both on the league? Is his brother on the league?
No, he's. Okay. Mark's the only one on the league.
Okay, I thought so. All right.
But yeah, they've done some other movies. I remember watching that movie Baghead.
Yeah.
Like a long ass time ago, and just being like, "This is cool." And then the puffy chair was really good. There's a couple of like really good movies that they've done like throughout the years, and Safety Not Guaranteed is a great
movie. That is a really good one.
Did he do that?
If you haven't seen
that.
They
did that one?
I don't know if they directed in it, but
he's in it.
Mark
he's
was in,
it. In
that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
yeah.
Okay. I've seen something on that.
Yeah. Mark acted in that. I don't think he wrote that or anything, but he was really good in that. He played a cool, interesting character in that movie. And Aubrey Plaza's in it. I love Aubrey Plaza. She's good. But yeah. What else? Anything else? There's a new show I watched like one or two episodes on Netflix called Abstract. It's a little documentary series.
Oh, how's that?
Oh, you mentioned that.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool. It's like it's about designers. Mm-hmm. So if you watched that that Chef's Table show,
yes,
or like that Cooked show,
100%.
It's like that, okay. But with art and design rather than like chefs.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
It's really interesting. The first one I watched was he was a cartoonist. He does like a lot of New Yorker covers.
Yeah.
And then the other one I watched was Tinker, I forget his last name, but the guy who basically designed the Air Jordans for Nike.
Nice.
So it does a lot of like Nike stuff. But that's a really cool show. It's a neat, I think it's like 6 or 8 parts or something like that. But so far what I've seen is really good. But all right, anybody got anything to add before we talk about this bitchin' record?
I don't think so.
I got one more if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, go for it.
Go for it, man.
I saw The Founder the other night.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Michael Keaton, the McDonald's behind the
true
story.
Yeah, how is it?
The movie's actually really good.
Okay.
I was really fascinated in how McDonald's came to be, and I never knew how the
fuck it seems
it did.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like the whole time I'm just like watching, like, oh, what'd they do? What'd they do? But
And how did he come up with the chicken McNugget? He's great, so.
Yeah. Whose idea was the Big Mac? But yeah, Michael Keaton plays Ray Kroc, which was a traveling salesman at the time. And he mm-hmm. came across McDonald's when he was like going around trying to sell fucking milkshake blenders and shit.
Ah, okay.
And yeah, it's just him. He's like down on his luck. He's like really trying to be like a good salesman, but nothing's really making his way. And finally comes across the McDonald brothers, takes him out to dinner, and they tell us their whole story about how they came to be. He's just like swept up, and he's like, "Oh my god, you guys have something amazing here!" Da da da.
Mm-hmm.
And the McDonald brothers are like really against starting like the whole franchise thing. They loved doing what they were doing in their one shot, really? Like
keeping it.
But
mom and
he
pop.
Was like totally pushing. Yeah. They were a total mom and pop store.
Dang, that's crazy.
Which I never knew.
I knew so it started out like that. I knew it was like one stand or like burger,
little corner
thing or something. That's it.
But yeah, it's crazy because Michael Keaton's really good. I don't know if he's. It's like on the borderline of Oscar worthy.
Okay.
Acting here, but, and he plays like such a good, like a, you're really feeling for him because he's down on his luck. Like he's not making any sales and shit. He's driving state to state. And then once he finally comes across McDonald's guys and hears about like what their plan is, and like they don't want to do franchises, but he's totally for it. Then he starts to turn evil, and you see it where he's just like, I don't, like, he doesn't say it, but he's like, I don't fucking care. I want this. I want this. Like, I don't care about the McDonald brothers. I want to make a franchise.
That's so crazy. Cause that, like, that changed like America in a way. It, you know what I mean?
Food.
Like that changed. Yeah. Well, yeah, food definitely. But like the whole, like, he basically, like, did they invent franchising? Was that like the first big chain to really do that?
I think so. I think they were one of the first big ones to, with food,
I think,
at least.
So too. Yeah. Which is kind of nuts. Like, it's so ingrained in like modern society now that it's like hard to imagine a time when that wasn't the case. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But just, you reminded me with the salesman thing. If you're into that kind of storyline, there's a really good documentary. It's old. I think it's on YouTube at this point, but it's from the 60s. It's an old black and white documentary about door-to-door Bible salesman in the South and their
Holy
whole life.
Shit.
And it is
that
really
awesome.
Like it. It is great because it, like, they specifically go into like poor neighborhoods and try to sell these way too expensive Bibles to these people who can't afford them. And like their whole, it shows their whole lifestyle of like kind of living in like motels and like going to conferences and like the whole deal. It is so interesting.
Missionary shit. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like the desperation. Yeah.
What's it called?
The salesman.
Oh.
The salesman. All right.
Salesman.
Yeah.
The founder.
Founder part two.
Yeah.
Prequel, the founder.
Whack Arnold's the beginning.
Oh,
shit.
Get yourself a job at Whack Arnold's.
I got Whack Arnold's on lockdown. Oh, man. I miss Chappelle.
I think everybody does.
Isn't he doing like some new deal?
He's doing
show
comedy
or something, or
yeah, he's still doing some shit.
Okay,
it's not enough though.
No.
He needs to just keep
his stand up.
I thought someone told me that. I thought Jessica told me that he's like signed something with like doing a new show or some sort of.
He did. He signed a Netflix deal.
That's
and,
what it was. Okay, that sounds
he's
smart.
Got a new special coming out,
that,
and then
okay,
I think they're releasing an old special that he recorded already.
Hmm.
And then I think there's like two new things or like one new thing and something else. I don't know. It's weird.
That's awesome.
But there's definitely one new special.
Like new stand up. Okay.
Netflix.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds really weird.
I don't know what the other two things are.
I don't know. I would take a half baked sequel, like a full baked. I would take that in a second.
In a minute.
Shit. Man, we saw that in theaters.
Shit. Yeah. Oh, man. That was so good. Such a great movie.
Crazy.
All right. Let's get to the meat of this episode.
Okay. Yes.
So, our homework was to listen to Iron Reagan's new album, Crossover Ministry.
Oh.
All right, I'm gonna put you on the spot, Lindsay.
Oh, geez.
So what'd you think of this?
I should full disclosure. When it comes to music, I am a bit of a like a music raccoon, I would say. Where like,
what does that even mean?
I can't like really tell what the difference is between like fresh good stuff and trash, and I don't care. Like you can
okay,
tell me something's trash. Yeah, and I'll still dig it if I dig it. Like,
yeah.
But,
no, that's good.
But I have to say, the name is great. I love the name.
Yeah,
yep.
Pretty amazing. And it was actually really good. And it had a lot of I wasn't expecting it because of the name, but it had a lot of like kind of like a punk undercurrent, like punk undertones.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like,
it's like super thrashy punk. Yeah.
Yeah, the composition was really, really good, and the kind of punky way that I like, and also just aggressive and like the kind of way that I like, because I thought it was going to be much more of a straight like metal maybe album.
Okay, gotcha.
But no, I was a fan. Like overall,
good
album.
Cool. Yeah, Iron Reagan, if you're not familiar, is they're just like a thrash punk metal kind of band. If you are familiar with like old school Metallica or like old Megadeth,
that's exactly what I was
thinking. But like, but instead of like being so serious, they have fun with the music and they don't take themselves so seriously. It's like, and they have like a much more like upbeat punk rhythm section rather than like that downbeat metal rhythm section. But other than that, like it kind of, if you were to play this if it had a shittier recording, you could tell me that it came out in 1983, and I believe you.
Yeah.
but the recording quality is like so much better than that, that it feels fresh. And but yeah, it's good. It's got a couple. It's like kind of a mix of like random people. Some dudes from Municipal Waste. Municipal Waste is kind of just like these guys. Maybe not just like them, but pretty close.
Municipal Waste is a little more metal riffish.
Yeah, a little less punkish.
More metal, but like shredding, like thrash metal.
Yeah,
essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, like the guitar lines are very similar, but the rhythm section is a little different in Municipal Waste. I like Iron Reagan better than Municipal Waste because of that. Yeah. Like I like that more upbeat. Like on the upbeat rather than the downbeat.
I'm into that drums. Delightfully hateful punk, like that really like just aggressively but delightfully hateful punk.
There's a whole bunch of other stuff. Ryan Parrish plays drums on this. He plays drums on Darkest Hour, and he did an album with Smoker Fire. And Ryan Parrish is
he's such a good
beast, man. That dude is so good. Like, and I feel like he's underrated just because he fits whatever the band is like going for. He fits that shit like a hand in a glove. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, he's like, oh, that's what you're going for? I'm going to hit that shit right down the middle and it's going to be perfect. And like with Darkest Hour, like people are like, oh, you know, because Darkest Hour is like a really heavy metal band and like hardcore metal band. And he does a lot of blast beats and it's a lot of just like that, like double bassed for like 3.5 minutes straight. But he's so fucking good at it. And he does like all these little things that most people don't, like, unless you're a drummer, you kind of like
don't notice
are in
it.
The know of like that type of music. You don't notice it, but he throws it in there just like, yeah, that's really good. That's what separates him from the 16-year-old that can do a blast beat for fucking 2 minutes straight. You know what I mean? But he's good. Everyone else is really good. Matt, what did you think about this album?
No, I actually liked it a lot. I had quite a bit of fun with it when I was listening to it. Because I was not expecting, kind of like in the same boat as Lindsay. I was not really knowing what to expect from him.
Uh-huh.
But once I started listening, it's like, man, these guys do sound like a fucking early 80s Metallica, just with a different singer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. I actually liked them
quite
a bit.
The singer works. I like the vocals. The vocals fit really well.
Yep.
For the style of music. It's aggressive enough, but it's not deep growls or anything.
No.
It's got enough melody to it.
The only
time
I didn't really
dig
it too much is like when the when they switched out vocalists. Like, I think they had a guest on, I think it, like Megachurch. Like, it started so good, and then like the vocals came in. I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, why did they ruin it?
I like that song just because
it was
so
weird. It was totally
just because it was
record.
Like because it was different, exactly, like dynamically and sonically different from the rest of the album. So I was like, this is it caught my attention.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I looked the dude's name up. His name is Andreas Sandberg, and I guess he's in a band called Ouija Beard and and Negative Self, which I've never heard either of those bands, but I'm assuming that they might be interesting. With a name like Ouija Beard.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. Sounds intriguing.
But that Megachurch song was cool. The vocals do catch you off guard because it's they're more singy, songy. Because
the intro was tight. Like, I was digging it. And then
I
just couldn't. It took me out of it too much.
Yeah. But that's definitely like the weird track on the album. Mm-hmm. And I liked it for that reason. And it was just a little different. Like, I don't think I could take that for 18 tracks or whatever this is, but
there's a bunch on there. But they're all like a minute and 30 seconds.
I know that was great.
The whole album is like I think the whole album's runtime is like less than a half an hour. Yeah,
I do have to say that my favorite song though was probably the longest, that Dead with My Friends.
Totally. Yep. Me too. I love that song.
Sick of being stuck in a monotonous bed.
I was digging that one a lot.
Yeah, the intro on that super cool. Mm-hmm. I liked about that song was that the structure was different. Like so many of these songs, like it's the same thing. It's like intro, verse, chorus, break, verse. You know what I mean? There's not a whole lot of variation with this band. And Dead With My Friends definitely had like a more interesting
felt like kind of
musicality
like a pub drinking song. You know what I mean? It just felt like something you would yell while you were drunk.
I do like how they kind of like, I don't know if he meant to do it, but kind of stole the Every Time I Die lyrics straight from that. But
what, the Dead With My Friends thing? Well, I mean, like that's a common phrase.
It's done a million times, but it's just,
I don't know if he necessarily stole it. Yeah.
I thought it was cool. I think it was more of like a homage, I know what you mean, more though. Than like a "Hey, I'm ripping you off, haha" type of thing. But it was cool. I liked it.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it
for sure. Yeah, there's a lot of cool songs on this.
There's actually a lot of good ones.
Yeah,
but like this is the type of band where, you know, you listen to like two or three songs, you can figure out what they're about, you like those, if you like those two or three songs, you're gonna like the band. It's like, it's a band that like, I don't think I'd listen to it like a whole lot, but every now and again I'll get that like
the urge.
Yeah, that urge to listen to it. I'm like, hell yeah, I know what I'm gonna listen to. You know what I mean?
They kind of remind me a little bit of that Australian punk band Friends Will Rom. Which,
I could see that.
Oh, because I love Friends Will Rom. Like they're like the perfect, if you're gonna like kind of pinpoint my type of punk, Friends Will Rom's it.
Okay.
And they gave me like a little bit of that vibe, just with how like just hateful they were in a funny way.
Yeah.
though I have to say that like it made me feel kind of old, but I couldn't get into Fuck the Neighbors because I felt so bad for the fucking neighbors.
So good.
I was like, man, these guys would be dicks to live next to.
There's a video for this song. Fuck the Neighbors.
That's
amazing. It's like
it's all claymation.
Yeah, it's all claymation. They just released it like a couple days ago. It's so good.
Yeah, it's like Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. The best part about this whole the best part about that whole song is the "fuck your yard" line.
Yeah.
And we'll go hard or some shit. Yeah.
Just fuck your yard. It's such a genius line. It's just like. It's so stupid, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, they would say, fuck your yard. It's such a stupid thing to get hung up on.
Great. It's genius.
It really is. Oh, man. Yeah, that song is kind of ridiculous. I think that's like the single. Well, they made the video for it, but.
Yeah, there is one more single before that.
Bleed the Fifth.
It wasn't like one of the.
Not that one?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think that was like the best one of the
they could have picked another one.
Single type songs to release too, which is kind of weird. I saw that, I was like, that's definitely not the best song on the single wise even. It's kind of weird, but
I really like, I think, I don't know if it's my favorite song, but I think one of my favorite songs is that first track, that Dying World song.
That was a really good, like,
that is, yeah, that's yeah. That's the first song I heard. I was like, holy shit, this album's gonna be
it really set the tone really well.
It's a really cool, like, because it kind of shows, like, the, like, roundabout of, like, the band. Like, it's got a little bit, like, of a social, like, political type of thing going on, but not, like, beating you over the head with it. And it's just, like, a ripper. Like, it just comes right out the gate, which is cool. But it's funny because, like, you can name, like, six or seven songs that are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's, I think, close to 20 songs on this album. So.
Yeah, it's hard to pick a favorite.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, it really is. Good. Yeah.
Have you guys listened to like their older stuff at all?
Uh-uh.
No.
Before this?
It's good. I remember listening to them because they announced that it's members from Municipal Waste. So I was like, oh, I'll check it out and see what it sounds like. And I remember listening to it, but I wasn't like totally blown away by it. You know what I mean? Like I was like, that's kind of cool.
I wasn't either. Yeah. I was like, I've been at some Municipal Waste for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's because I've heard of Iron Reagan too. And I was like, I never put two and two together that him and the dude from Darkest Hour was in. I was like, I never knew that. Crazy.
Okay. Gotcha.
I've heard of the name for like such a long time and I never really listened to him.
Yeah. I remember hearing him and just being like, it was good. Like it wasn't anything that like blew me away. But this album definitely is on a different level than that other stuff.
Totally. The last album that they did like a couple years ago, that was probably like second to best as far as like the newest one goes.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It was good though.
There's a couple cool things. There's the song Dogs Not Gods. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Not only was it like kind of funny, like the whole chorus Dogs Not Gods, and like it was like that was kind of cool, but the I liked what they did with the production on that song. Like it started off like lo-fi, like I almost thought it was like a bonus like demo track at first when it came on, because it starts out and it sounds like almost like a garage recording or something. And then it boosts up and the chorus hits and it's like this total like power produced chorus and it's just like, oh, that's badass. Like it just has this like cool tier to it. And then it, like when it goes back to the verse, it jumps back to that like other style of like production. And I just thought that was like kind of cool. Not too many bands. So many like bands like this, it's just like one and done. Like they have like that palette and it's just like, this is what we do. Turn everything up and it's fucking balls to the wall. And I like that they like, that's why I kind of like that that Megachurch song too, was just because it was like, it was a little bit different, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
To switch it up a little bit, but yeah. This is a riff-heavy album. It's got cool leads, cool solos.
Mm-hmm. It's got some face melters.
Yep.
Yeah, it's got some face melters.
Oh, yeah.
There's a cool intro on More War. More War.
Yeah, I love that. Awesome. That one. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like very old school, like Megadeth, Metallica style type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you guys ever heard of the band Exodus?
No.
Oh yeah,
they were from.
The music's great. I hate the vocals.
Yeah, Exodus. Well, Exodus, it's a product of the time. they were like in that weird thing where like heavy metal was like kind of coming out, so they had like that, like kind of like the vocals of that era, like the hair metal and stuff like that, but they still had like
super high pitch, but like thrashy as shit.
But they still have that like old school Metallica, like almost what's the one, Judas Priest type of like music behind it.
Yeah.
And like these guys kind of remind me of like a modern version of Exodus, like if that kind of makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah. Totally. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Exodus, that's that used to be my thrash band. Like whenever I was like, I want to listen to something thrashy, I'd be like, fucking pop on some Exodus.
Yeah.
It's like, Matt, you remember Testament?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that style of music.
Do I remember Testament?
Yeah, I dressed up as a fan of theirs for Halloween one year.
That's right. I forgot
about
that.
When was that? Holy shit.
I still have the shirt.
What year was that?
I
bought that shirt. Yeah. I think that was my shirt and I gave it to you.
Really? I remember buying it at
Buffalo Exchange.
Buffalo Exchange, yeah.
I think I bought it for you then, because I remember being there with you.
Oh, really?
Maybe you didn't have cash. I just remember buying that.
Yeah. Jen fucking wears it all the time.
When was that?
Yeah, I remember seeing her in it, and I was like, oh, I remember that.
I think it was one of like the first years I trick-or-treated with you guys. Maybe the second year? It was like 2000.
I remember that.
The, like, early 2000s?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was an early trick-or-treat year.
Dang.
Yeah, and when he says we were trick-or-treating in 2001, it's not like we were 9 at that time. We were
like, I was going to say, like, I was like, wait a minute, I was in high school then. You're not that. You're like,
I was probably 15.
Yeah, we trick-or-treated well into our like early 20s.
Good
yeah.
for you.
Dude, I trick-or-treated like maybe 3 years ago. 3-4 years ago, and I'm fucking 31.
We were hardcore into trick-or-treating.
Oh, yeah. Cardboard was all the rage.
Yeah, we had a cardboard contest where we would have to dress up and who could have the best costume, and we would try to outdo each other.
Yep.
Awesome. One year I dressed up as the Nintendo cartridge for Excitebike.
That was my favorite.
Nice.
That was good. I sincerely hate that I don't have that copy.
Yeah, I still wanted to keep
that. What the fuck? How did that happen? From you. Damn.
It was so big. That's how it happened.
Didn't it get like blown out of the truck or something when you were driving home?
I think it was in the back of the truck, and we had something weighing it down, but it fell out and it like blew off on the fucking freeway or something.
Some like lucky kid has got that in his garage still somewhere.
Candles all around it.
We'll see it on a documentary in like fucking 10 years.
Yeah.
Shit. All right. Any closing remarks about Iron Reagan album?
Listen to it. Love it.
Yeah.
Might check it out. Surprised.
Listen to Municipal Waste too, because if you like that, you'll probably dig them too.
Yeah.
Dig it. Grim Business was a cool song too.
Yes.
Those were my favorites.
One of the funniest parts about that was like in the middle of the song, he's just like, bleh.
Yeah.
Like it's just like utter disgust for business, and it's just like, it's so perfect.
But I mean, on a serious note, we should all be mindful to our neighbors. I just want to put that out there.
I fucking hate my neighbors. I will not. Dicks.
My neighbors are pretty cool. Yeah. My neighbors are pretty chill.
Mine aren't bad.
What about your neighbors, Matt? They good?
I got a crazy Christmas guy.
Oh, yeah, nice. I forgot about that.
I make it a point not to know my neighbors.
Does he like crazy with like ornaments and decoration or what?
Oh, yeah. He's pretty much the Griswold guy.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That's awesome.
Yeah. He's all out.
Yeah. Then there was like a TV show about him, wasn't there?
Yeah.
For real?
Dang. He was on the ABC show that Christmas Light Fight.
No shit.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Does he have a family or does he live alone?
No, he's got family. Well, okay. He's retired, but it's just they don't live there.
Yeah. Poor bastard.
I think he's been doing it for like 13 years.
Jesus.
Damn,
that's nuts.
Check out the next weekly roundup that we do. We're gonna listen to the new POS album, Chill Dummy, and also a band that Matt found called Oslo.
I'm not sure.
Where are they from?
Some goddamn.
From Australia.
From Australia.
Oh, that totally makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, you can hear.
I'm gonna call him Oslo, and it's a self-titled album, so that should be fun. Yeah. But after that, see you next time, guys. Fuck your neighbors.
See you guys.
See you.
Bye.
Church, it shall be a